Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to another week of YAG. Today is my turn to share, and I think most of us were attending a wedding earlier here today, and she said this is her fifth time in Bethany, and everyone here is always so enthusiastic and helpful when it comes to weddings and serving. And that's, you know, that's something really special about Bethany. And another special thing about Bethany, change of tone. Another special thing about Bethany is, you know, we also try to be very present at memorial services for members and also family of members. And when I tell friends or people outside, colleagues, that over the past 10 years of me attending this church, I've been to over 50 funerals or memorial services, they're usually very surprised. But we are just so grateful that we can be there to serve, whether for me being at AV or just to minister to the bereaved family. So when in YAG we were studying Ecclesiastes 7, in verses 2 and 4, the preacher wrote about the house of mourning. I actually paused to ponder about it quite a bit. It was on my mind quite a bit. So verse 2 reads, "Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart." And in verse 4, the preacher writes, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fool, heart of fools is in the house of mirth." So mirth reflecting laughter or sort of superficial type of happiness. You know, the preacher more than once brought up house of mourning, and both times he actually saw it as better than the house of feasting, better than the house of mirth. He made these comparisons and he associated the house of mourning with the wise. I don't know how many memorial services you've attended here in Bethany, and whether there's anyone that is particularly memorable for you, anyone that's etched in your mind. For me, I do. I have one that I always look back at and think about, and she passed away. It was quite sudden. She was having an intermittent fever, and the doctors didn't know what was wrong with her, so they failed to diagnose that she had an autoimmune condition. And because there was no treatment that was directed at the root cause, her body just shut down and she passed away. At that memorial service, I cried a lot. It was the first time I cried so much at a memorial service where I didn't actually know the person so well personally. But when I was there, my mind wasn't just on I was also thinking about how they shared during one of the family camps, that of the things that they went through to conceive, and when those thoughts came, just tears just flowed. It just flowed, and someone passed me like a box of tissue, like this one, the ones that pastor used in sanctuary. I was really surprised by that. You know, the memorial service celebrated the short life that she had. They remembered how happy she was at church, how she told everyone about her experience at church, even her neighbors. And they remembered how she expressed her love to the other kids around, sharing her stuff. And they also remembered that she loved praising the Lord. Her favorite song was sang during the memorial service. It was 10,000 Reasons. You know, feasting and laughter are good things. We just feasted quite a bit. But if our lives are lived just for those pleasures, then that's the life of fools. And at the house of mourning, I really learned to appreciate life more deeply and meaningfully. And even till today, when I look at the life that they live, I'm truly encouraged by the quiet strength and the testimony that they have. And today, the song that I've chosen is He Will Hold Me Fast. And in the last stanza that we are about to sing, the third stanza, it says, race with Him to endless life, He will hold me fast, till our faith is turned to sight when He comes at last. You know, we contrast this fleeting nature of the life that we live here now today with that endless life that we will live with the Lord. We want to ask for this faith that is stronger than our sight as we live our lives today, so that when He comes at last, this faith shall truly turn to sight. Let's take this song together.
Thank you, Kevin. Always good to be able to remember things that have impacted us, whether it is in a house of mourning or through life's challenges. Always lessons for us to learn and grow by. And let's pray, and then we can look at today's text. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that You will continue to teach us lessons from Your Word. May we continue to see how we can have a good, strong understanding of You despite the challenges of life. We pray that You will continue to help us to be enlightened and bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we were looking at how we ought not to be stuck in the past, but rather to be focused on the present and to adapt and to move forward. We also looked at how we ought to manage our funds, not to waste it, not to allow foolishness in how we manage our funds, but really to see how wisdom and money can be a good defense. And I think that's an important perspective to have, especially when we go through unexpected difficulties of life. Okay, now today we are going to go into verse 13 and 14. Now, when we look at life and the different seasons of life, does it affect the way we see things? And oftentimes we do allow circumstances, and sometimes the emotions can get the better of us, and it does impact the way we see life and the way we even see God. So there's something for us to think about as we read verse 13. So we ought to have a good, strong theological understanding of God. But if we have a weak understanding, as what we will see here concerning Solomon, so sometimes Solomon's understanding is okay, it's good, but sometimes not so great. Okay, so let's look at verse 13, and it says, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what He has made crooked? So he raises these questions. Now remember when we looked at last week, verse 10, do not say, why were the former days better than these? You know, so we did talk a little bit about raising questions. And the point is that sometimes we may not be wise in the way we raise questions. Again, nothing wrong with raising questions. Happy for you to raise questions. In fact, it's good for you to raise questions, because out of the inquiry, you can pursue further, deeper knowledge and understanding and find answers. But sometimes we raise questions that are not so wise. Right? So as we read in verse 10. So sometimes when we raise questions, they are not all that good or wise or even correct. Right? Because sometimes when you raise a question, it reflects your understanding to some extent. So he says here, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked. And the question is that a correct understanding? Right? So in asking this question, it actually reflects Solomon's weak understanding. He doesn't have a strong understanding of God at this point in time. Okay, we will take a bit of time to analyze this, right? Question is, does God make, you know, does he create evil? Does he, you know, make crooked things and right? We go on to verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Okay. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. So, you know, he talks about the day of prosperity, the day of adversity. We all understand that. There are days when things are okay, everything is fine, we are happy, we are celebrating, we are enjoying life. But of course, adversity will come. And we all understand this, whether personally, within your family, or circumstances that to those around us. That's a reality of life. The question is, do we allow these different seasons of life to affect the way we see and understand God? And that's something that I'd like to raise up for us to consider this afternoon. We can understand basic things, which is fine. But the problem is that when you go through a very difficult adversity, does it affect the way we see things? Right? So for Solomon, he thinks about, okay, let's consider God, but man cannot understand, right? What he is doing, and so on and so forth. So what Solomon is doing here is that he's living day by day, as the day is. Right? If the day is great, okay, am I happy? I'm fine. But if there's bad news, if there's adversity, then how? So the question is, does he have the kind of faith that is going to give us a far better approach to life's, you know, ups and downs, right? We look at life, there are good days and there are bad days. But does it affect our understanding of God? We can talk about it, but when we are going through it, how really is our understanding. So you can talk about God and you put it into an understanding, a sentence, so you add in God in what he's stating. But is there a very clear understanding concerning God? Is there a consistent understanding of God? So that's something I'd like to raise up for all of us. Because the questions that he's raising is very open-ended. He's not able to grasp beyond a certain level. He raises these questions. And sometimes you ask yourself whether they are all that helpful, actually. When you raise a question that doesn't have not saying that you cannot raise questions, the point is that it must reflect some understanding or at least certain amount of correct understanding. And from there, you develop a far greater constructive approach. But if you raise questions that already in itself have incorrect understanding, then actually the question is not very constructive. You follow what I'm trying to say? That's the problem. Because if you raise questions or you look at God and you look at a certain understanding because of very human reasoning, right? Then it becomes a problem. So let's try and analyze Solomon's understanding at this point in time. right? We all go through different days. If you are really caught up with the stock market, wow, okay, you know, market goes up, then good day, right? Happy to see your wife, happy everything is good, and so on and so forth. But if it's a bad day, wow, gloomy clouds, you know, dark clouds come and not so happy to see your wife. No, no, not really. But she'll be happy all the time, right? But if our understanding of God is inconsistent, sometimes it's all right, sometimes it's not so good, then we see that our very human perspective comes into the equation. Our very human reasoning comes into the way we think and understand God. And it becomes very, very personal. Right? Our own understanding comes into play and so forth. And there are times when things can be challenging. So this week, in the obituary, I saw, I don't know whether you saw this obituary. Usually I'll take a look. And so there's this lady by the name of Audrey Lowe. She passed on many, many years ago. It's her 26th anniversary. And the family continues to put the obituary after 26 years. 1999, she passed away in a diving accident. And I remember that because actually one of my friends was her boyfriend. They were actually on a diving trip. And because of an accident, then she drowned. And I still remember, usually you see one or two, you know, an obituary. There were like 10 different obituaries concerning her. And so it was something that was really, really challenging. And I knew the family. I mean, the boyfriend's family. I grew up with him. His father used to play water polo with my dad, and so we were actually quite close previously. So I wrote a letter to the mom actually, my friend's mom, and you know, just to share a word of comfort to her and to my friend and so on and so forth. And I still remember that. And it was very, very difficult. A very difficult time for the family, very difficult time for my friend. And it was tough. And, you know, these are things that will happen and it's just very challenging. Adversity will come. Difficulties will come. Death will come. But does it affect the way we should see God? That means when you look at life and all its challenges and all the experiences that we will go through, see, sometimes our understanding of God is affected by experience. It is affected by our subjective understanding as we experience them. And that causes our understanding to be inconsistent. That's the danger. That's the problem. And this is something that we want to be able to guard against. Right? Are we going to see God in a different way or even an affected way? Because our understanding of God ought to be consistent. Now, the thing is that these are, if you look at Solomon, it's personal, it's subjective, it's experiential, it is, human reasoning, and what he ends up with is something that is not very, in fact, a weak understanding of God. It's roller coaster kind of understanding. It is up and down kind of understanding. And that's not good, strong, theological understanding of God. Right? And it's something for us to think about. Because we all tend to be very affected by the circumstances of life, and as a result, it actually affects the way we see things, even God. Okay, what do you think? How do you see this? Okay, let's ask those behind. Elian, you went all the way behind, so... No. Okay, let's start the other side. Paul, okay, what do you think, Paul? Let's start with you. I was kidding with you. Usually, Leanne sits in front, so now she went back. That's why I went to the back.
I think it's quite true. Very applicable. I would say this, what you shared today, is very applicable in my life.
Yeah.
As you go through different seasons, different life challenges, health challenges, it do affect the way how you see life in general.
Yeah.
And also the future in some ways or another.
Yes.
I think the question is, what is that thing that anchors you down?
Yeah.
To make sure that you do not sway.
Yeah.
And you remain consistent. I think the difficult part is when, as you are going through those situations,
yep.
What is the thing that is holding you in the right path?
Yeah.
And how do you know if that the decisions that you make is not of your own and is of godly understanding and reasoning?
Yeah. You see, so what you say is very important. What anchors you, right? And the thing is that sometimes our anchor is also not very strong. Right? Our understanding of God is not very strong. It actually is affected one way or another. And it affects the way we see things, affects the way we look at... You know, because when we talk about understanding God, or what we call a biblical, theological understanding of God, it has to be objective. So then, when we talk about something that is, that is strong theological understanding of God, right? It has to be objective. Now, when I say objective, meaning it cannot be just personal subjective. It has to be objective. And for us, it has to be biblical. Meaning, the source of our understanding must be from the scriptures. Nothing else. The problem is that we go to the scriptures, we understand God, and then along the way, life's challenges come, it affects the way we see God. Especially when emotions come in. Especially when it's very painful and difficult. And it's never, never easy when you go through life's challenges. But the question is, how strong then is our understanding of God? See, when you look at Solomon, his understanding is not what we call revealed knowledge. Revealed knowledge is objective. It is from God. It is something that we can understand to be from the Lord. For instance, when you talk about the prophets and so on and so forth, let's turn to Amos 3. Right? So, you turn to Amos 3, verse 7. And this is an understanding of God, right? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. God has to reveal Himself to the prophets so that they will understand who He is, what He seeks to do, and as he says here, he does nothing. All the works that he does is revealed. And it's from God. Problem is that for Solomon, as he considers the work of God, it becomes very subjective and personal, based upon experiences, based upon his own reasoning. So oftentimes, Pastor tells us, right, when you interpret the scriptures, when you study the scriptures, you cannot use your own reason. It's not that you cannot use reasoning. You can. But you must reason from the scriptures. But if you use your own reasoning and you pass it off as part of your understanding of God, then that becomes a problem, especially when you end up with something that's wrong. And that's always the danger, you see. And especially for us, as some of us are Sunday school teachers, some of us, we lead in groups, and so on and so forth. It is so crucial for us to have that very clear understanding of who God is. It must be biblical, theological in understanding. Can you see the challenge here? We don't allow circumstances. And we all are going through different kinds of circumstances and challenges in life. The question is, are we able to hold consistent, right? So whether it's, those of you who are following the pastor's devotion from Ezekiel, right? We just studied Ezekiel 37 about how there's the valley of dry bones, and it is through the Spirit of God that gives life, especially for Israel, right? But if we have a poor understanding, then we can end up with very human reasoning, even human precepts. It is derived with, from a very personal experience. And what we have is actually very weak and flawed even, which is what Solomon has. You can see that sometimes he's okay, sometimes he's not. That's the problem, you see. It's inconsistent. And you don't want to have that. Nothing should affect our consistent understanding of God or impact that consistency. Right? So it affects Solomon's understanding of God. It affects his view of life. So that's why we get Ecclesiastes. Right? We get him trying to figure out life and struggle with his own understanding. Can you see this? And we want to be able to. So it's good to take time to check things out, right? To check your own understanding. Whether you are forming your own understanding from a very human perspective, from reasoning, from, you know, your own subjective thinking, or is it from experience? You take experience, you take the troubles, the difficulties, the adversity, and then you ask yourself questions concerning God. And then you put it into your so-called view of God, and even view of life. And it's not going to help us develop the kind of understanding concerning God the way we ought to. Right? And it's not going to go very far. Okay, any questions, anything? Do you agree, disagree? Do you feel that this is not easy? Do you feel that it's no issue, very easy for you to be able to go through life's challenges? Right, how? Okay, Charles, what do you think, since you are next to Paul?
I'm struggling a bit with this, Basma.
Yeah.
In my mind, I see faith as something which is personal.
Yeah. Right?
Sure. Our experiences and our situations in life shape the way we see life.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah.
I think like for Paul and I, you know, we've both gone through similar health situations, yeah, and circumstances, and our outlook of life will be different from someone who may not go through the same experiences, lah.
Correct.
Right? And so I'm just trying to understand, where does the personal experiences in life kind of fit into our understanding of faith and how we approach life?
Okay, so how do you maintain the objectivity of the scriptures and understanding of God? How do you maintain that? Because the Word of God You cannot change one, right? You cannot add to subtract. You cannot say, oh, this is how, you know, we ought to see God instead, and so on and so forth. How do you maintain that objectivity? From what we have learned. So the assumption is that we have some knowledge already, right? We know who God is. He's there to protect us. He's there to keep us. He's there to save us, deliver us, and so on, right? We understand prayer. We understand what God gives in terms of grace, mercy. All these things are there for us to appreciate. How do we maintain that objectivity? Because if you say, okay, yeah, true, we all go through different experiences of life. I went through different experiences of life, all of us, one way or another. True, there are some similarities, right? But how do we then maintain the objectivity? You understand what I'm trying to drive at? Because if you say that if we just base upon experience and life, and that should then cause us to what if that experience somehow, and you come out of it, you have negative experience. Not that, I mean, we all go through different experiences, but we learn lessons from it, right? God teaches us and so on and so forth. But what if you end up with something that is negative? Which is very human and very personal, subjective. And somehow that negative perspective affects the way you see God. You see the problem here? What we should really have is that when we go through life experiences, it should confirm for us what the scripture says. It should reinforce, it should help us to because it experience, it proves what God's word says, rather than it being affected. You see the difference? Meaning, when you experience God according to the scriptures, you see the truth. You see and understand, wow, God, this is what you are like. You said it, and it is proven. I see your hand. I see the way you have shown grace and mercy in more ways than one. And it just adds to my faith. Rather than to see it being affected. My understanding affected, my faith affected, and you come out weaker rather than stronger. You notice? Then after a while, our theological understanding becomes... I don't want to use the word theological understanding for negative because it's not theological anymore. It is an understanding that is weak and affected. But if you have a strong theological understanding, no matter what you go through in life, it cannot change. It just confirms it even more. It tells me that what I've come to understand is true, it is proven, it is who God is. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. It is just that I've become even more confident in God because God has shown me the way He has never shown Himself to me because of my experience. Can you see the difference? Was that what we were talking about or slightly different?
Yeah, I guess then this doesn't mean that when we are going through the experience, there's no room for us to
struggle.
Yeah,
no, of course, we will go through struggle, sure. Right? But it doesn't change our understanding. Struggle, yes, we will struggle with faith, we struggle with weaknesses, we struggle, but our understanding of God cannot change. It must be consistent. When you see yourself, suddenly, my view of God suddenly changed. My understanding changed. That's where the inconsistency of understanding is somehow affected. Yes, you're right. We will go through struggles. And it is trying to appreciate God in the context of your suffering or adversity or difficulty. Right? But it should not affect the way we see God. Maybe the struggle is, this is very difficult, it's not easy, it's tough, I'm struggling, but I will not say anything about God that is otherwise. You see what I'm trying to... Okay, any questions? Go ahead, seriously. you know, to me is important for us, because when we talk about a biblical theological understanding, there are a number of things that we want to be able to work with. Okay? We want to be able to work with the whole scriptures, meaning it is the Old Testament, New Testament. Right? There's so much for us to understand and to depend on. So that's why we look at, you know, scriptures as a whole. We look at the Old Testament, we look at the New Testament. That's our approach. Right? We look at it from a standpoint of understanding the text itself. We want to be able to say, okay, let's have a very clear understanding. What's my, you know, appreciation, understanding concerning this particular text that gives us a very clear understanding of who God is? Right? What does that mean? It means, when you look at the text, it means understanding the context. Right? You're understanding what is the reasoning of the text. What are the insights that we are gaining? And then we pull them together, one text to another, to form a theological understanding. This is what we do as a church. This is what we do as pastors. This is how we look at our understanding of God or anything. So we talk about the glory of God, right? This is how we approach it. It is a difficult approach. Not many actually work with this because you need to know the scriptures. I can just take one text and say whatever I want to say. Nobody's going to, you know, say otherwise or whatever. But for us, that's not how we approach things. We want to be able to have a very consistent understanding from the scriptures. And then being able to say, this is clear, this is our understanding of God, and that is going to be consistent also. It cannot be affected by the circumstances of life. Right? For instance, Job. He started off, okay, blameless, fear God and everything else. Great. God allowed, you know, Satan to hit him, and he continued. Good. In times of difficulties, everything else, fine. But along the way, you have friends who come and tell him all kinds of silly things and raise questions. And, you know, when he go through those difficulties, things begin to affect him concerning who God is. Can you see the problem here? Your theological understanding, you can start out well, but if you, along the way, if adversity affects us to such an extent that we begin to question things. See, that's the problem. When you start using questions that are not so wise and you lead yourself down a tangent or road that you really not ought to. And then doubts come and that's where you have problems. Can you see the issue here? All you need is a wrong thought, a wrong understanding, and we all have minds that are not as strong as they ought to be. And once you allow that thought to come in, it leads you on a tangent, and your emotions comes in, and you feel pity or whatever. And you find yourself being affected. That consistency has been lost. And it's not how we want to approach life, the way we look at God, so when you have a theological understanding, it's derived from God. It is about Himself. It is about who He is. It is about what He does. And it needs to be consistent. I always say that my understanding of God it must have the objectivity. It cannot be subjective. Once you have the objectivity and you work with something that is consistent, then you know that this is how you want to approach things. Right? Well, this is something for you to think about as you go into your groups to raise. Don't be afraid to raise and, you know, to try and think through this. Right? Whether we are going through adversity, whether we are going through not so difficult times, but nonetheless, it is important for us to have something that you know you can hold on to no matter what you're going through. In days good, in days of adversity, that consistency, objective, theological understanding continues. Okay? Well, let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that you will help us to develop a far more stronger theological understanding of you. We recognize that there are times when we have allowed difficult times, adversity to get the better of us, even in the way we understand you and our understanding of life. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to take time to recognize whether there are weaknesses in the way we have sought to develop this understanding of you. And we pray that you will help us to take time to cultivate a far stronger theological understanding so that we will be able to have that kind of consistency in understanding you and understanding life. We pray and thank you for all your blessings. We pray that you will use this offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.